In the name of one God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Among this morning's assigned lectionary readings, we find two remarkable scenes. Actually, we find three scenes because in planning for the service, I decided to blast through the brackets in the reading from Luke. In our first from Exodus, we encounter the prophet Moses, who has gone up the mountain to receive the tablets and speak to God. In Luke, we witness Jesus being transfigured on top of a mountain and talking with Moses and Elijah, the two who by this point in the history of Israel have become identified with the law and the prophets. And then later in the same gospel passage, we have Jesus being called upon by a desperate father seeking relief and healing for his son. These readings contain a wealth of riches, and any preacher would have a wonderful time unveiling and unearthing each and every one of them. For instance, you could make a comparison between the voice of God speaking out from the cloud on the mountaintop, drawing attention to his son, with the voice of the Father calling out from the crowd, drawing attention to his son. Perhaps we could look at the similarities between the glowing of Jesus, of Moses' face and the shining presence of Jesus. And there are many, many others. But what I want to consider and what I kept coming back to this week as I was thinking through this was the question of where the bigger changes occur. Were the biggest changes in those who were placed directly in front of us, Moses and Jesus and this child? Or were, in fact, the more important changes somewhere else? In our passage from Exodus, we read that Moses was quite literally shining when he came down off the mountain carrying the tablets, giving off some sort of supernatural radiance. In the Luke reading, as Jesus stood on top of the mountain, the clothes he was wearing suddenly turned a brilliant white, and the appearance of his face changed. One translation of the original Greek that I read said that the appearance of his face became other. And then later in that same reading, the young boy to whom we're introduced is suddenly and miraculously relieved of his affliction by Jesus and restored to health. But I don't think those are the biggest changes. I don't think that the changes are simply what we see in Moses and Jesus and this boy. For me, the most incredible moments of transformation in these scenes, these moments of transfiguration, are actually those that occur within the people witnessing these events. Look at how they responded. Those who encountered Moses after his time on the mountaintop with God were afraid to even come near him. After witnessing Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus, Peter, in his unrestrained excitement, blurted out that this was all good and it was good that they were there, and we should build three booths so that we can remain and soak in this moment. And the people who watched the healing of this young child were, simply in the words of the gospel writer, astounded at the greatness of God. Fear, joy, astonishment. These are the emotions felt by the people witnessing these incredible moments. But I think these responses were rooted not simply in the fact that they were watching the events unfold, but rather in that they were seeing Moses and Jesus and this child in entirely new ways. The Moses who went up the mountain was to them not the same when he came down. The Jesus who climbed up with his disciples one day was to them not the same when they came down the next. The suffering child who was brought by his father to the crowd to see Jesus that day was not the same when he returned home. What had changed wasn't the appearance of Moses or the appearance of Jesus or the appearance of that child, but the way they were perceived by others. All three of them underwent physical changes, shining, changed faces, brilliant, bright clothing, physical affliction changed to physical peace. But the deeper changes were those inside the people surrounding them. An encounter with God, a conversation with two of the patriarchs, a miraculous healing. These were the entryways not just into seeing these individuals, but seeing God at work in and through them. And in seeing these incredible moments, they themselves were forever changed. Yesterday, I was privileged to witness moments of transfiguration in five women and men ordained to the transitional diaconate. Years of discernment, prayer, and conversation, challenging seminary coursework, and I put emphasis on the word challenging. Chaplaincy programs and parish internships, ordination exams. All of them were leading to this moment when they took their first vows in the service of the church. Often in describing ordinations, you will hear people use the phrase ontological change, which is just a flashy theological term for what is a change in the essence of a person. The men and women who ordained yesterday have been and continue to be, as are each and every one of you, beloved children of God. But they're experiencing a new state in that being. The way, to use a practical scientific example, the state of water changes into a liquid or a gas or a solid. Yesterday, these five new deacons kneeling before the altar of the Church of the Good Shepherd in Burke were transformed. But from the pews, I watched an even bigger transformation taking place, a transformation in the family and the friends gathered there. We all were watching these people that we hold close take their vows and move further into their new vocation. But after the laying on of hands by the bishop, we were seeing them in a new way. They had processed into the church as our friends, our brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, mothers and fathers. But when they left, we saw them as far, far more. The outward signs had changed. They had processed in among small groups gathered to present them to the bishop and to be there to support them. And they were wearing just plain vestments. When they processed out, they did so without their supporters, standing out, vested in red stoles, new deacons in a new phase of ministry. As with those watching Moses, Jesus, and this young boy, we were seeing them in a new way. After years of being comfortable with how we were seeing, for many it was a new experience and a new opportunity to see for the first time God at work in and through them. So as you look at those you encounter in your lives, when do you experience moments of transfiguration? Do you ever find yourself so invested in a situation, so caught up in a particular place or a moment, that you are not simply watching the events unfold, but actually seeing them on a deeper level and with a deeper meaning? I want to issue a challenge for you this week, and if you want to consider it homework, then it's homework. But consider it a suggestion for a Lenten practice to do over the next season. At the end of each day, pick one moment or one encounter and take time to reflect on it. It could be a moment that brought up a similar response to those we heard today, fear or joy or astonishment. Consider what happened in front of you, and then consider what happened to you. In that moment, I would wager upon this reflection and discernment, you will see God revealed. working through that moment and in you. And when you find that, you will find the transformative moment, the instant of transfiguration. Amen.